This Advent, pause and prepare your heart for the coming of Christ, embracing the hope, peace, joy, and love that He brings. Draw near to Jesus in this season of expectant waiting in our Advent 2024 series, Tis the Season, Christmas, Christology, and the Church.
We've been in a series during Advent all about Christ. We believe that Christmas is the most doctrinal time of the year. And so we've been in about 5-week study of Christ, Christology, to use the big word. I want to bring that to a conclusion tonight and talk to you a bit about the person of Christ. To begin, let me ask you to think about a question I've been pondering myself. You'll see why in a bit, but ask yourself this: who's the most famous person you've ever met? Don't holler out your answer, but just think in your mind, who's the most famous person you've ever met? I thought about a few opportunities I've had with people that I think are somewhat famous. I didn't manufacture them. In fact, some of you are the reason I had the opportunities. A few presidential candidates, some conversations with them, a couple of authors and some of my studies. But without a doubt, the most famous person I've ever met was someone I met when I was a junior high student in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And they were making a visit to Chattanooga, most specifically to the studios of WDEF-TV. That was the CBS affiliate in Chattanooga. And they were there to wrestle. His name? Randy Macho Man Savage. I think by your laughter, you know he's the most famous person I've met. You all seem to know him as well, right? If you don't know him, you need to read History That Matters, okay? And catch up on who's who in this world. Now, here's why I say that I met him. I was standing in this very small room compared to what he ended up being with the WWE and WWF. This is back when WCW, even before that. This is probably late 70s. And it's in this TV studio, the ring's over here, and there's these metal barriers, and I'm right next to one, and he comes out of the, I guess, locker room area, and he's prancing to the ring, and he's got on the cape or the robe. I'm not sure what it's referred to, but he's decked out, and I just had to touch Randy Macho Man Savage, right? So I reach over the barrier, and he's close enough, and I touch his robe, and he glances for a second at me, and then he keeps going. And I thought, I'll never wash this hand again, you know. Maybe it was that moment that prodded me toward wrestling as a high schooler. I don't know. Went home and told my mom and dad, hey, I met the Macho Man. School all next week. I touched the robe of the Macho Man. It seemed like that moment of contact elevated the reality. Now, I don't know if it actually did. But it seemed like when something became tangible, like firsthand, like really up close and in person, feelable, audible, all these things in the moment, like, man, this is right here. I'm holding this. It all seemed to just like become very real. Like, this is not a myth. It's not a fable. I'm actually here with the Macho Man, right? It's that kind of sense in a much more serious way that John, in his epistle called 1 John, relays to us the tangible, grabbable nature of Jesus Christ and communicates to us the reality of his existence. Can I show you those verses just for a few moments? It's darker than normal. You don't have your Bibles, probably. Let me just show you the verses. I have a lot of visuals tonight. We have a lot of children with us. I want to try to keep their attention best I can. Let me read these for you. I'll make a few brief comments to show you the tangible, graspable, verifiable nature and reality of Jesus Christ. Here's what John would say to us. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now he inserts an explanatory phrase. These dashes tell us that. Look what verse 2 says. That life, speaking of the word of life, that life was revealed. We have seen it. We testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. Now he's back to his first thought again. It is repetitive on purpose. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And now we're writing these things so that our joy, or some translations say your joy, may be complete. Interesting set of verses in which he intentionally repeats a number of things to emphasize the reality of Jesus Christ. And he does that by giving us words that describe just how real and verifiable and graspable and tangible and historical and manifest his existence was. Let me show those to you. First of all, notice this. He does say that Jesus Christ is the word of life. He refers to him, this is kind of an odd thing, as the what? Now, it's not meant to be disrespectful. It's just the word used to describe and speak of Christ. Notice he says, what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen. This is all the same as the phrase, the word of life, which is also the word life in verse 2. It's all personified in the name at the end, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is who he's referring to with all of the uses of the word what and the idea of the word of life. It's Jesus Christ. And he's saying that this incarnated man named Jesus at his birth is the eternal Messiah, the Christ. This is what John declares and testifies. And this is what he says is, first of all, eternal. Do you see that? I'll circle it in black for you. It's in verse 2. Notice that he says that this word of life, it was with the Father. So for him to call Jesus Christ eternal is to simply say Jesus Christ is God. Now he says this in his gospel. John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, speaking of Jesus. So John in multiple ways and places affirms and proclaims Jesus Christ is God. Here he does so by saying that Jesus Christ, the one he watched and saw and heard, is eternal. He is God. He then says that Jesus Christ was visible. Notice three times you see the word seen. I'll circle these for you in blue. You also see the word observed. So John is saying, this eternal one, this eternal life, I saw him. He actually says, we saw him. He's speaking here of perhaps those immediate followers as well as the ones who were in Christ's localized New Testament time. Could mean the hundreds that were following him. Could be the thousands who just saw him. Either way, John here is saying, we saw this eternal one. So he's visible. He's also audible. Again, notice the tangible words being used. He uses the word heard twice. I'll circle them in green for you. Verse 1, verse 3. So John heard Jesus Christ. John saw Jesus Christ. John knew that this was the Christ who was eternal, now in human flesh, visible, audible, as well as, notice the purple circles, tangible. I love the word touched here. John's not afraid to say, I touched Jesus. I'd remind you of the cross when they took his body down. That required touching. It required touching when they anointed his body for burial and wrapped it in cloth. So don't take the story of Jesus and make it so non-human and real that, you know, it just kind of happened like, there were people with hands like yours who took the dead body of the man Jesus off of a cross, wrapped it and buried it in the tomb. John here says, yes, I touched him. He uses the word hands as well. Now, before I move to the last point, just notice this. I think these three middle traits or qualities or descriptors, visible, audible, and tangible, show us something. They show us that everything John is saying is verifiable. Like if you see something and you hear it and you touch it, if you're a little junior high boy and you see and hear and touch Randy Macho Man, guess what you're saying? He's real. So much more for the eternal Son of God that John saw, heard, and touched. He's real. It's not a fable. We're not speaking about a myth. We're not concocting a story to give us some reason to celebrate and give gifts to each other. There's a real person. He's Christ, the eternal Messiah, incarnated as Jesus. That was his name. And he's visible, audible, tangible, meaning he's verifiable. And this is why the last one John mentions is he's communicable. Kind of a big word, kids. It just means you can talk about him. You could use the word transferable, not my favorite word. You could use the word relatable, like you relate him to someone else. But I think the best way to describe it is communicable. We know that God has communicable attributes. One of the ways we communicate about God is to do what the text says here. I've circled these in white. To testify and declare. And what is John testifying and declaring? I'll put it to you plainly. That Jesus is real. That he lived in time and space as a man. That he was graspable. Manifestly visible. You could touch and hold him. You could see him and hear him. There was nothing mythical or fantastical. It wasn't made up. It was actual, evidential. This is what we're communicating. This is what we're testifying. John even says in verse 4, this is why he's writing these things. So he's communicating these things about Jesus, the Son of God, and really for three reasons. I'll just show them in the text to you. There'll be no more circles, I promise. But in other words, he says, I'm communicating, testifying, making sure you know this truth about Jesus, that he's real, because he's the way to have fellowship with the Father. He's the way to have fellowship with us, and he's the way to have your joy full. So watch this. John is not only communicating the reality of Jesus, he's communicating the necessity of Jesus. Both are true tonight. Jesus is real. He's eternal. He became man in the incarnation. That's when he became visible, audible, tangible. He still has a body after the resurrection and ascension. And this entire time, Jesus Christ, the eternal Messiah, God in the flesh, has been and is real. And here's the evidence to prove it. In fact, he was so real and so powerful that verse 5, it's not going to show on the screen, but it says this. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light. Why would John say that God is light after talking about the reality and necessity, the tangible, manifest reality of Jesus? It's because that's how we see God. Jesus is the clearest, exact representation of God. So when Jesus showed up, the light turned on. God was with us. This is what Christmas is all about. The reality of Jesus. Now, when you think about this set of verses, your mind should also realize this, that what John is summarizing is 33 years of moments that Jesus had with James, his half-brother, when they were 7, when they were 11, 16. At least 2 decades, Jesus lived with James, who did not become a believer until after the resurrection. He's thinking about moments when thousands were on a hillside and they were hungry and Jesus fed them with food from just one boy's lunch. He saw that. He heard that. He touched that. He's communicated that. He's thinking about the crucifixion, the Last Supper, the breaking of the bread. He's thinking about the ascension. He's thinking about the Great Commission. He's thinking about the meal on the shore when Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to Jesus and they cooked fish and ate it together. I mean, these are, when you read this, don't think it's just like rhetoric. He's thinking of a million moments that prove to him Jesus Christ is real. And so we testify and declare to you this truth because he's the avenue to the Father. He's the way to relate to us, and he's the way to full joy. In fact, if I were to give it to you in a simple sentence, this is what I'd say to you. This is our Christmas Eve truth. Would you read it with me? The person of Christ is the real life Jesus, and he is the only pathway to the Father, to fellowship with others, and to fullness of joy. It's only found in Jesus. I remind you that John is also the author who wrote in John 14, he recorded Jesus saying this, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. That wasn't a recording. That wasn't an image. That wasn't a fabrication. That was a real, live human being, the man Jesus, the incarnated Christ, speaking about who he was. John here is echoing that again. And maybe you're saying, well, Todd, what do I do with that on this Christmas Eve 2024? It's astounding to think about the manifest evidential nature of Christ as a person. This is very convincing. It's very helpful. It's plain. But what do I do with that? I'm ready to go home and open gifts, or I'm going to put the kids to bed and then open gifts tomorrow. We're going to have a big snack night or meal night, or we're headed to families, we're hitting the road. All different kinds of plans, traditions, and all of them, fantastic, that's great. But what do I do with this from 1 John? Two things. To the majority of you in this room who are believers and followers of Christ, I want to challenge you to celebrate more confidently. In other words, don't just make this a little better story than Santa's. Don't make this spiritualized Polar Express. Like, this is actual time and space history recorded in God's Word, witnessed by hundreds and thousands, testified, recorded supernaturally, inspired by the Spirit, written for our admonition. Like, this is evidential, manifest reality. So celebrate confidently. The baby in the manger was Christ the Lord. Born in a real town named Bethlehem. We read Luke 2. You heard it read to you. Do you see all the actual places and people in that passage? The Bible is just filled with markers and tags that say to us, Jesus is real. So celebrate confidently. Make Christmas really Christmas. And make sure it's distinct and different and elevated and prioritized because of Christ. After all, he is genuinely and authentically the reason we have Christmas. Think about it. Christmas means mass about Christ. So we gather as a mass of people to celebrate Christ. So I want to challenge you this season, celebrate confidently. You're not remembering a myth. You're not just honoring another version of Marvel Comics or DC Comics. You're not just putting another superhero in your mind that's better than the other ones. You are remembering and celebrating the birth and coming of a real person named Jesus, who was Christ in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity. So make it the most doctrinal, important time of the year for you and your family. Celebrate confidently. But secondly, I'd say this. For those who aren't sure they can do that because they've not yet believed. They're just skeptical. They're agnostic. They're questioning. Maybe you've been attending here for a number of weeks and you're just not ready to say, I'm in yet. Here's my challenge to you. Cross over from a cultural Christmas to a true biblical theological Christmas. Because Christmas without Christ really isn't much. It's just an extra expense in your budget. It's more time in your schedule. You get cramped, ramped. All kind of things happen in the holidays if Christ isn't there. Yeah, you do get some time off work. That's good, right? But without Christ, it's just mass. I want to encourage you who are considering the claims of Christ to see his evidential reality, his grabbable, tangible personhood. You see, Jesus is actually very palpable. But you can feel his weight as you read the word. And to cross over and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate confidently with the rest of us. This is what Christmas calls for. Belief in the one who was born in the manger, God in the flesh. And by the way, the reason I'm asking you to believe and calling you to believe in Christ is because he's the only way to the Father, the only way really to real fellowship, and the only way to full joy. So I'm asserting to you, his reality, it goes along with his necessity. You need Jesus, and he's real, so you can believe in Jesus. I'm not giving you a myth or a fable. I'm presenting to you true, evidential, manifest history that has theological and spiritual and eternal implications. Believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what makes Christmas, Christmas. If you're saying, Todd, I'd like to believe in Jesus. I want to be one of those ones who could say that it was Christmas Eve 2024 when I trusted Jesus as my only Savior. And I believe in him as the only way to have my sins forgiven. You know, that happens every year at First Family. We've been only here for 20 years in Ankeny. But I'd say most every Christmas Eve, there is someone who for the first time hears the clarity and importance of the gospel and trusts Jesus. Maybe this would be the day of your spiritual birth. If that's you, here's what I'm not asking you to do. Listen very carefully as I wrap this up. I'm not asking you on Christmas Eve 24 to take a blind leap in the dark. I'm not asking you to be Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, who comes to the precipice. There's nothing in front of him. So what does he do? He puts his foot out. And when he steps down, what unfolds? It's a bridge that he couldn't see before. I've heard a number of pastors use that as an illustration of what faith is. I disagree. That's not faith. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark. It's an informed step of trust. And for those who have yet to believe, you're not putting your foot over a precipice without a bridge to see. There is a bridge. His name is Jesus. Amen. He lived a life that was recorded and seen and felt and heard and touched. All you've got to do is take a step on Jesus. And he is the road to God. He crosses the eternal chasm. He bridges the eternal gap that all of us have because of sin. And tonight, you are now, by the Holy Spirit's power and illumination, convinced that Jesus is real and he's necessary. Would you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only way to be forgiven? Would you place your faith in the bridge of Jesus Christ so you can be reconciled to God? Take an informed step of trust tonight. I point you to the one who was from the beginning. We've heard, we've seen, we've observed, we've touched. He was revealed. We testify and declare, this is the one who brings us fellowship with the Father, with each other, and full joy. It's Jesus the Christ.